You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So I'm here. I'm still in Las Vegas. This is going to be probably my last Las Vegas pod here. But I'm with a gentleman. Now, people take his opinion a little more seriously than mine, but he's representing Fox 9. Why don't you introduce yourself to the Locked On Wolves listeners?
I'm Pierre Nujum with Fox 9.
See, I knew I was going to butcher that last name. Okay. That's why I let you introduce yourself.
That's okay. That's okay. Still brand new to the Twin Cities. I've only been out here about 6 months now, but I've been covering the NBA for almost 3 years now, but I'm originally born and raised from Sacramento, so it's been an NBA. And the NBA is in my blood, so I feel like I've been covering it for a lot longer than that.
There we go. Those are the stats right there, the important ones. So this is my first summer league. I believe you said this was your second
this
or third
is my
one?
Second.
Second
this is my
one.
Second time.
So what have you thought this year's summer league? Just first impressions before we get down to Timberwolves stuff.
It's amazing to me how popular it's gotten and how popular it gets year after year after year. I mean, I remember last year when they were here between the Kings and the Lakers, when it was supposed to be De'Aaron Fox, it was billed as De'Aaron Fox versus Lonzo Ball, and the place was sold out. Mm-hmm. I mean, who sells out a summer league basketball game here, especially in a town like Las Vegas where you have so many options of entertainment?
Exactly.
But it sells out. It's amazing to me how many people fly. When I flew out here from Minneapolis, there were a father and son in the row in front of me saying they were flying out to Vegas specifically to go see summer league. Mm-hmm. And the son said he's never even been to an actual NBA game before. This is his first NBA live experience, and it's summer league. So it's just amazing to me how popular it gets every year.
That's correct. And, yeah, we're sitting in the Cox Gym, and it's packed out. It was packed out, and people were waiting. I was watching the Knicks game yesterday, and there was a line, I want to say 100 deep, of people who couldn't even get in, and they're waiting in line. It's
insane.
Is
that not unbelievable? I mean,
it blows my mind how big the NBA is now.
Especially when you consider the fact that each team only has two draft picks, so you're going to have your first round pick and your second round pick most likely playing in the summer league, and outside of that, the rest of the guys are guys who are trying to get back into the league, who's been in there before, guys who are still trying to make a training camp roster, perhaps to get a free agent contract. So a lot of these guys aren't even going to be playing in the league when the season starts. So the fact that people are out here, they want to see this kind of basketball. Let's be honest, it's not the prettiest basketball. It really isn't. But at the same time too, I know everybody wants to get, for me, summer league is about hope for the fans. Every year, you look at your rookies, whether you have one or two, possibly more, and you look at them as the hope of the future of your franchise. So you want to get your first look to see how they look for you as a fan. So I can understand why it's so popular in that regard.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Especially, like we said, it's Vegas. You can do how many different things can you do in Vegas? But you want to come watch NBA Summer League? Yeah, that's fine by me. I want to do the same.
We've seen the Timberwolves play two games so far. Mm-hmm. We're about to walk in on them playing the Nets. Give me just a couple things that you've noticed from the Timberwolves, stuff that you'll probably be walking away from Vegas with coming out of Summer League for the Timberwolves specifically.
There's two things, and not surprising, it's around their draft picks, Josh Okogie and Kata Bates-Diop. And I'll start with Bates-Diop, actually, who was Minnesota's second-round pick. When I was watching him yesterday when the Wolves were playing, who were they playing yesterday? The Raptors.
Yep.
Raptors yesterday. The way I saw him shoot the ball, especially in the second half, it reminded me a little bit of a Channing Frye, Jared Dudley type guy. Two guys who've been in the league for 15 years in the league?
Yeah.
Stretch fours. I mean, they were the stretch fours before there were stretch fours.
Exactly.
And the way Bates-Diop shot the ball, especially from outside, I was just watching him move in space, and I couldn't help but think of, this guy, I think, if he improves his shooting, and again, this is against summer league competition, so who really knows, but if he can maintain a consistent three-point shot, he can be in the league a long time, Stretch four, rebound the ball for you. He had 8 or 9 yesterday. Mm-hmm. 20, he led all scorers to 24. So my first initial reaction was Bates-Diop, if he can find a way to get on the floor and stretch the floor and maintain a consistent three-point shot, which I was impressed to see, like, that he had in his toolkit, that three-point shot. If he can maintain that, I think I'm looking at a Jared Dudley, a Channing Frye-type career. I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but it reminded me, especially with his size. You know, he's kind of lanky, stretched the floor.
And one of the things that going into Summer League I anticipated with Kita is maybe he doesn't have the ceiling of a guy like Josh Okoye, a ceiling of a guy like Towns, where it's going to take some work, but they're going to be crazy players once they get to that ceiling. But I feel like he's going to be able to jump into this roster and give them a couple things right off the bat.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, he was a second-round pick for a reason. Now, and I know a lot of people will say, well, Draymond Green was a second-round pick. Carlos Boozer was the second-round pick.
They stick out because they're unusual.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They're unusual. Manu Ginobili, you know, Isaiah Thomas. You know, those are the rarities.
Yeah.
They're the rarities. But that doesn't mean they can't have productive NBA careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you know, and I worry a little bit, and this isn't a criticism of Tom Thibodeau, but he doesn't like his rookies. He doesn't like them. So I don't know how much we're going to see him. But I think if he can consistently show they can shoot the ball well in the game, he's going to get time. And I think he'll be okay. He'll be okay. The other thing I would say in regards to what I was looking at, Okoye, the speed in which Okoye plays with, especially on defense.
Yeah.
He moved, and we talked to John Lucas III yesterday about that after the game. He said, oh, my God. He was raving about him. His quick hands, his feet, the way he ran down and blocked a shot. It was called a foul, but we all know it was a block.
That was definitely a block. Come on now.
It was definitely a block. He ran the speed on defense in which he plays with. And I was watching him even when the ball was on the other side of the floor. You could see his eyes pointing people in direction of where people need to be, trafficking people where they need to be on defense. He knows. He knows that's his niche. That's his role. And we all know how poor Minnesota was defensively last season, so they could use a guy with athleticism and quickness and defensive smarts, and he showed that at least yesterday from what I saw.
And there's a couple things I want to talk about with Josh Okoye, but you mentioned what he's able to do defensively. And I'm not criticizing his basketball IQ, but he's a rookie. There's stuff he's going to learn. Don't you feel like the stuff that he has to make up for gap-wise in his IQ, he's going to be able to do that right away with his speed that he already has?
I think so. Yeah, I think so, especially defensively. Now, you and I kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday. He's in a way, he's in a perfect situation because even though he was the guy at Georgia Tech, he doesn't have to be the guy here. I mean, there are guys on this team, and he doesn't need to score the ball. So if he can chip in 6 to 8 points a night off the bench, great. If he doesn't, I wouldn't even be overly concerned about it as long as he's put in the game and he does his job. Tom, how many times have you heard it? Just as long as you do your job.
Exactly.
From Tom Thibodeau. And his job would be to come in, put pressure on the ball, pick a guy up in the half court if need be, and just shadow a team's two-guard, small forward, that kind of area. And I think he's got the speed.
Yeah.
He's got the speed to do it. And that's really important in today's NBA, speed, with the way you get up and down the floor.
Well, and we talked about this with him, too. He knows his role on this team. He knows they're looking for defense from him, and that's the side. So there were some reporters asking about his shot selection. He knows that he can grow on offense, but he really needs to jump in feet first on defense. And I think if you're Tibbs and you're this coaching staff and that's what you're already grooming him for, is to be really good on defense and take offense as a secondary option.
Right.
Is that maybe a glimmer of hope for encouragement that maybe you see this rookie get some more minutes, even though it's not stereotypical of Tibbs?
Boy, I hope so. And the reason why I say I hope so is because over the last couple of weeks, you know, leading up to the draft and after the draft, Tom Thibodeau, all he would talk about was adding depth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd say, okay, yeah, you add depth, but what good is depth if you're not going to use it? So, I mean, I would hope so. You know, you have to earn your minutes. Everybody has to earn your minutes, and I don't think there's any shame in that. But if you're going to talk to me about adding depth, use your depth.
Yeah.
Use your guys. Give them a shot. In a lot of ways, you know, baptism by fire in a lot of ways is the best way to learn.
Yeah.
And there's going to be growing pains. And you know, you can't be too harsh on a rookie in the NBA. They're going to be growing pains. But I just hope that if the minutes are warranted and the minutes are earned and you want to give Jimmy Butler a break and you want to give Andrew Wiggins a break, which you should in the first 25 to 30 games, use your rookies.
Yeah.
Let them learn. If you lose a game here or there, so be it. So be it.
Speaking of depth, Emile Jefferson on that two-way contract. Have you seen enough from him yet where you're comfortable in saying maybe he'll be able to grab some minutes at the next level other than the G League? Or do you need to see more consistency throughout the summer league from him still?
I would say he's, like, right on that cusp. I could go either way on him, you know? It's like, I could see, because I think he had 13 and 13 yesterday.
He had 15 and 13
15 and 13. Like, those are great numbers. The one thing that drives me nuts, and I know a lot of people talk about playing small ball and speed in today's NBA, but when you have a guy who has size and can play in the league, but he doesn't rebound consistently, that drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. So if he can show that he can average, you know, that he can rebound the ball, then I'm okay with that. That's what I want from you. And defend, rebound, block shots. If you chip in with 15 points, hey, that's a bonus. So he's right on that cusp. If you really had to ask me, I would say he's not ready for the NBA just yet. Mm-hmm. But I would say he's not far away.
And this is what I was saying. I was talking with another show yesterday. This is exactly what I was saying, is that you need to be guaranteed more than two nights of rebounding like this from Jefferson. It can't be just a flash. It needs to be kind of the same notes over and over.
And that's kind of the hard thing about summer league. It's like, so I have a hard time of trusting my eyes because it's like, okay, this person played well, or even that person didn't play that well, but this is summer league competition.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure where the barometer here is for who's really good and who's not. There are some guys like DeAndre Ayton where you can see he's just a natural talent and you know he's going to translate over into the NBA very well. But, I'm not ready to promote a guy or crucify a guy in this league. So I would wait for training camp. You know, training camp speaks for itself. Guys have a chance to make a roster. Guys will get cut. And I think that's really, you know, once that happens, that's really when you know, all right, who can play and who can't play.
And this is even more reason in summer league for him to show consistency.
Yeah.
Is because if you can't be consistent in summer league, that's not a really good prognostication of where you're going to be consistent. I know it's not the best judge, but it also isn't going to hurt him to be consistent.
I would agree with that, because you should be consistent in a place like summer league when you're playing against this type of competition. If you have a little bit of experience, whether it's G League or NBA experience, and you come and play in summer league, you are expected to be one of the better players out there, and you are expected to know how to help the other guys in the flow of the game. So, Emile Jefferson is a guy who is he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So, he's got a chance. He's got a chance. I just don't know if it's going to be with Minnesota.
Last thought before we head out here. Who is your favorite guy to watch so far on the Timberwolves that you know isn't going to make the team? And maybe not even be on the G League team, but you've had fun with him in summer league so far.
I would say Stark has looked all right for a couple games.
They're really good at accumulating these short guards, aren't
they? Yeah, Stark looked okay. Emile Jefferson is a guy. Boy, I'll give you a name, and we haven't seen him play yet. But the only reason why I say him is because I got a chance to cover him in college. Perry Jones III, who's
the
been
deep dive.
Perry Jones III, who is a guy who's built for the modern day NBA. Like 6'8", 6'9", can play inside, can play outside. He's just been hurt.
Yeah.
He's just been hurt. There's been a knee issue with him. There's been a hip issue with him. He was a late round draft pick a few years ago out of Baylor to Oklahoma City. He made the roster. He was on the roster before. If memory serves me correctly, he was part of a deal that he was traded to Boston. But don't quote me on that. But we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him in a couple of years. He's just been hurt. I actually got a chance to talk to him yesterday. He said, I asked him if he had thoughts about playing in Europe. He said, no. My goal is to come back to the NBA. Yeah. And I think he could do it. He just got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's the key. So if he plays, he told me he hopes to play tonight, if not tonight, the next game. So if Perry Jones III gets out there, I'm going to be very interested to see how he plays.
There you go. You heard it here first. Look out for him, and hopefully he can finish out the summer league strong. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
the show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Make sure to check out this guy's content on Fox 9 and be looking out for that fresh summer league takes that we're both going to be offering throughout
hot
the rest
takes,
of
the takes as hot as the Vegas desert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.